Well, for Advent, we've been reflecting on the canticles of Christmas, these little songs on the lips of three different people in the Christmas story. Mary has her Magnificat, Zechariah the Benedictus, and now today Simeon with his Nunc Dimittis. These little songs full of big theology. And our prayer in this series is that our hearts and souls might join in and sing along with Mary, Zechariah, and Simeon in these canticles of Christmas. Today we come to Simeon, this elderly chap who takes little Jesus up into his arms in the temple when Jesus, when Mary and Joseph come to dedicate little Jesus in the temple. And with overwhelming joy, he cries out in this Nunc Dimittis. Now, let depart. That's what that means in Latin. It's from the opening line. Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And so would you, if you would, join me in Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 25 down to 35 today. You'll find today's reading in the Pew Bible on pages 857 to 858. And as we turn to this passage, Luke chapter 2, verse 25, I want us to reflect on this question. What does living by faith mean? What does living by faith mean? Because following Jesus, trusting God, is a life of faith, yes? And that faith is stress tested in the hardships of everyday life. And so we need to learn to do this. Faith takes practice, and living by faith is something we learn. And so I think Simeon has a lot to teach us here about what living by faith really means. There's three lessons in particular I'd like us to pay attention to today. I've given them each one-word titles: awaiting, beholding, and entrusting. There's your outline for our time together. Awaiting, beholding, and entrusting. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, and we'll dive in as we learn to live by faith. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would come and be our teacher today, that you would show us what it means to live by faith. Help us to keep our eyes on you, to trust you in the hardships and the uncertainty of our futures. We want to cling to you and walk by faith and not by sight. Help us today. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. All right, so first, awaiting, the first lesson. It's now been 40 days since Jesus was born, and Mary and Joseph come to present him in the temple according to custom, present him to the Lord. And on this day, they're going to find themselves walking into the middle of a divine appointment. Actually, two divine appointments with Simeon and Anna, although our focus today will be on Simeon. And Luke begins here by providing some background for us so we understand just who it is we're meeting. So Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Just pause there for a moment. So Simeon is we find out he's a resident of Jerusalem. He's, we're told, righteous and devout. In other words, he's a man who lives by faith. He's waiting here for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the mending. He's waiting for the healing. He's waiting for shalom. Because so much had gone wrong for Israel. You know, sure, God had chose them as his special people. He made them the apple of his eye. He set his love upon them and made them his people. He entered into covenant with them. He gave them promises. He gave them promises of hope and light and glory and all of this. But then Israel had squandered their inheritance. They'd run after false gods and idols. They'd spurned his steadfast love. They'd broken covenant with him. They'd acted unjustly toward each other. And so God sent them into exile, into captivity under foreign powers, first Assyria and then Babylonia and then Persia and then the Greeks. And even though they were faithless, God remained faithful, and he pursued them in love and brought them back home to the land that he had promised them. But even though they were back home in the land, all these years later, they're still under Roman occupation. There's no sovereignty, there's no freedom, there's still no king on the throne. And so sorrow lay deep in the hearts of the Israelite people. They were longing for the days of renewal when Messiah would come and the promises would be fulfilled and hope would rise and the world would be mended and all would be well. And Simeon is waiting for that day, for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the days of the king. And we're told the Holy Spirit is upon him. It's been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he sees the Lord's Christ. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew Messiah. It means the anointed one. This is God's promised one. God has revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he's not going to die before he sees the promised king, David's son, the chosen one. And so all this time, he's been waiting. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, waiting, searching, looking, hoping, wondering, anticipating, longing, aching for what he trusted would one day come to pass because God had promised. And so every day he keeps on waiting. Because, friends, living by faith means learning to wait, doesn't it? Living by faith means learning to wait. By very definition, faith requires waiting. Yes? Because Romans 8, 24 to 25 reminds us, hope that is seen is not hope at all. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not yet see, we wait for it with patience. Or Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. Friends, living by faith means waiting on the promises of God, waiting expectantly, waiting hopefully, waiting confidently, but waiting nonetheless. And I don't know about you, but I don't like waiting. Waiting is hard. I don't even wait well at a crosswalk. You know how long that is? That's like 60 seconds, and I'm sitting there fidgeting. I don't like it. In our technology-driven, convenience-focused, instant gratification world, waiting is viewed as an enemy. It's something to avoid. But friends, God calls us to wait. He calls us to wait on him, to wait in faith. Just think of all the people in your Bible. Think of Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Hannah and Simeon. If you're waiting on the Lord today, you are in good company. God's people know how to wait. Living by faith means learning to wait. That's the first lesson. Awaiting. Awaiting. Life by faith means awaiting. Secondly, it means beholding. Beholding. Can you just imagine how precious this day is for Simeon? All these years he's been waiting. You know, I imagine him like popping into the temple just to see all the little babies that are coming in. You know, is this one? Is this it? Is this today? Am I, you know, what's going? No, go home. You know, day after day, he's just, I don't know what he's doing, but I think it's something like that. And then all of a sudden on this day, his faith is about to be made sight. Luke 2:27. And he came into the temple in the Spirit. The Spirit tells him, Simeon, get up. This is the day. He comes into the Spirit, into the temple in the Spirit. And when the parents bring in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation for the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. This had to be quite something for Mary. Can you imagine? You shelter your baby, you know, when you're a young mom, especially your firstborn. Yes, you know, you don't bring them out in public right away. You know, you're careful about letting strangers touch them. And this elderly chap just walks up, total stranger danger, right? And he says, "Can I hold the little baby?" Okay. And then as he lifts this little Jesus in his trembling, aged arms, out flows this beautiful blessing. And you can you just hear the emotion in his voice? Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. I can die a happy man now, because it's just like you promised. Here he is in my very arms. My eyes have seen your salvation. This little child, our Redeemer, our King, our Healer, our Savior. I can't believe it. He's actually here. This is the incarnation of God's plan of salvation promised through the ages. This is the salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, he says. This is Adam's seed, the one who will crush the serpent's head and reverse the curse. This is Abraham's son, the one in whom all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is David's heir, the one who will rule and reign with righteousness and justice and peace to the ends of the earth over all the nations. This has been your plan all along throughout all of history to present now right here on the world stage in the presence of all the peoples, your son, your incarnate Savior, the one come for all of us. Here he is, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. He's the one come so that the nations might know that you are the one true living God, and they might know Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And he's the one who will bring glory to your people Israel. He's the one in whom all the promises are yes and amen. He will bring it all to fulfillment, the mending, the healing, the consoling, the kingdom, the power, the glory, everything. It's him. Now, here's what's amazing to me. Simeon never got to see any of that. He never got to see kingdom come. He never got to see the light and the glory. All he saw was a child. But that was enough. It was enough. Because this is the child upon whom everything will depend. And when Simeon sees Jesus, he knows everything's going to be okay. God's salvation is as good as done. If Jesus is here, everything else is just a matter of time. This is amazing. All he beheld was a glimpse A glimpse, but it was enough. He held salvation in his arms, and he knew the world will never be the same again. And so Simeon, you see, he's right here. He's in the middle of the story of God's redemptive history. He's in the middle of God's redemptive plan. And there's all these unknowns in the future. And yet he's trusting God because the salvation that he's already seen in Jesus is enough. He's tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that he's faithful to his promises, that what he's done in the past is a pattern and promise of what he'll do in the future. And he clings to it. This is the Messiah. He's here, a down payment of all the salvation and hope I long for. Because, friends, living by faith means trusting in the middle. Living by faith means trusting in the middle. Friends, Simeon lived in the middle of God's redemptive plan. In his redemptive history, there's so much yet to unfold, and yet he's seen enough. When he saw Jesus, it was enough. I can die now, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Friends, you and I, we live in the middle of God's redemptive history, don't we? Oh, we've seen so much more than Simeon ever got to see. We've seen Jesus grow up. We've seen his life, his miracles, his teachings. We've wept at his cross. We've marveled at his empty tomb. We've gazed in wonder as he ascends to the Father's right hand. But we too live in the middle because we are waiting. We are waiting for his return. We are longing for our beloved. We are aching for redemption. We are yearning for the kingdom come, yes? And living by faith means trusting in the middle. Because we too have beheld his salvation. We too have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We too know that our God is faithful to his promises. We too know that God has sent us Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah, and our King. And even though there is so much yet to be unfolding in God's redemptive history, so much we are waiting and longing for, just like Simeon, we've seen enough. We've seen enough. When we've seen Jesus, we've seen more than enough. Our eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Amen? Living by faith means trusting in the middle. That's the second lesson. It's the lesson of beholding, awaiting, beholding, and now thirdly, entrusting. Luke 2:33. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul as well, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. It's an ominous postscript, isn't it? He goes from all this salvation and redemption and promise and light and glory to falling and opposing and swords and piercing and revealing. It's quite disorienting, isn't it? Let's look at each of these phrases. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. This child is going to bring upheaval for Israel. Many are going to rise with him in loyalty and trust, and many are going to fall away because of him in rejection and unbelief. He will be a sign that's opposed so that thoughts from many hearts might be revealed. Jesus' coming is going to, it's going to cleave the world in two. The hearts of some will be drawn in worship and praise and adoration and trust and faith, while other hearts will reject him in oppositional defiance and hostility. All will be revealed and laid bare because of this child. And as Mary's eyes grow wide, I imagine, at these ominous words, Simeon pauses mid-sentence and he looks her straight in the eye. And he says, a sword will pierce through your own soul as well. This baby that you dearly love, his life is not going to be an easy one. He will be despised and rejected. He will be betrayed and crucified. He will be nailed and pierced. Don't you see how the cross just looms large over this scene? Have you ever stopped to consider just how piercing to the core it must have been for Mary as she stood there and watched her beloved son dying on that cross? She heard his first cries of life, and she was there when he breathed his final breath. A sword will pierce through your soul as well. As your son is pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, upon him is the chastisement that brings us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. For out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, the Lord's servant, make many to be accounted righteous, for he shall bear our iniquities. He poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is Isaiah 53. We know this is coming. And Simeon knows the high cost of redemption that must be paid. He knows that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And he knows that there's light and glory and hope to come, but he also knows that the path of God's salvation will not be an easy one. There will be falling and opposing and revealing and swords and piercings along the way. The pathway to the crown runs through the cross. So Mary must prepare herself. We must prepare ourselves because there's going to be a lot of suffering and pain and agony and dying on the way to the glories that are yet to come. And that's why he warns Mary, this is going to hurt. This redemption, this salvation of God, it's going to cut you to your very soul. It's going to feel like death, Mary. And then life. Abundant, overflowing, unending, rejoicing life. Because these light and momentary sufferings are working for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, and the shadow is but a small and passing thing. There is light and high beauty forever beyond its reach. And so, Mary, when the piercing comes, don't fight it. Surrender in hope to the piercing, because there's glory on the other side in Jesus Christ. And don't you see, friends, living by faith means surrendering in hope. Living by faith means surrendering in hope. Isn't that what Simeon is modeling for us in this text? Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He's surrendering in hope, isn't he? He's looking death in the eye. This is amazing. He's looking death in the eye and he's saying, I'm ready. I'm entrusting myself into the hands of the Lord. I'm ready for the piercing. I'm ready to suffer and die. Because I've seen enough. I've seen the Lord's salvation, and I know the one that I am holding in my arms is the one who is actually holding me, and he will never, ever let me go. He will hold me fast. Friends, this is so real. Simeon is showing us how to die. Living by faith means surrendering in hope as we entrust ourselves into the hands of a God who will never, ever let us go. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers or things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 8:38 and 39. As the British poet George Herbert wrote, death used to be an executioner, but the gospel has made him just a gardener. Isn't that good? Death used to be an executioner, but the gospel has made him just a gardener. Friends, this is real. Just a few weeks ago, my family and I, we laid my grandma to rest in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his life from the dead. And I know all of us are secretly hoping that Jesus is going to come back in our lifetime and we're going to be that one generation that doesn't actually have to die. I know how we think. But you know, the odds are we're going to die. Just like so many countless heroes of our faith have died. And Simeon is showing us it's okay. There's actually nothing to fear anymore, because Jesus has taken the sting out of death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? This means, friends, if we've seen the salvation of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've seen enough, and we can face the piercings of death knowing it's just a gardener now, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And living by faith means surrendering in hope. That's the third lesson. Entrustment, entrusting ourselves to God, awaiting, beholding, entrusting. Because bottom line, our lives are in His hands. Amen? Our lives are in His hands. It's in His hands that we're learning to wait. It's in His hands that we're trusting in the middle. It's in His hands that we're surrendering in hope. It's in His hands that we live by faith. I love those soulful lyrics written by Robert Harkness. He traveled with R.A. Torrey, one of our pastors. And in 1906, at an evangelistic campaign, he wrote these words. I love the third and fourth verses. I am precious in His sight. He will hold me fast. Those He saves are His delight. He will hold me fast. He will not let my soul be lost. Christ will hold me fast. Bought by Him at such a cost, He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Dear friends, if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, you are forever a child of God, and your life is kept in the nail-pierced, resurrected hands of Jesus Christ, and He will hold you fast, now and all the days of your life, and then forevermore. Amen. Which means we can learn to sing with Simeon, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Amen and amen. Would you pray with me? Father, it doesn't get much more real than this. If you cannot hold us through death into resurrection life, no one can. We thank you that this is not a dream. This is not a myth. The resurrection has broken into space and time. We have seen it. Your Son has blazed the trail through death into resurrection life. A crack has opened up in the walls of the world, and you beckon us to follow Christ through into resurrection life. And so we cling to you. You are our life from beginning to end, and you alone can hold us fast into eternity. And so, Father, as we wait, as we trust, as we surrender, we place ourselves in your hands, knowing that you have taken hold of us and you will never let us go. And so we give ourselves to you. We hold nothing back. Now and all the days of our life, and then forevermore. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.